This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
You have any idea? And do you know why? It's so nice to talk. You're from the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
Where everyone is nice.
They are. They are.
I've met some nice people elsewhere.
Yeah. You want to name five?
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the global premier podcast about sales, attitude, and personal development. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, author and founder of Sales in a New York Minute.
Wow, founder. I love that. That's a big statement,
that
founder.
That is. But now I can have author in my name since my book is coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so the challenge that we're having today is a good one for you. We have just completed an amazing show in Philadelphia and my hometown where I had food. There's like six food groups. There's usually four food groups, mm-hmm. but in Philly, there's six.
What are your six food groups?
Cheesesteaks, of course. Tasty cakes. Amish cinnamon buns. Amish pickles. Hot dogs. And soft pretzels. Not to mention, there's a couple of other food groups, but we'll get into them later. Because no one in the audience really gives a shit. So
wait. I care. That matters.
Okay. If that's not a care, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, what's going on in your world, Jenny?
I'm just coming off of our big trip. We landed. Yeah. We were home for 2 days. We go to Philly for five days.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's amazing. It's crazy amazing, and I feel honored to be part of this opportunity and just get to enjoy, you know?
People do not have any understanding of what it's like to publish a book and then have the book sold. Like writing a book is the easiest part. Even though it's a labor, it's still the easiest part. And now you have to go and sell it. It's like anything else. If you make T-shirts and they're beautiful – that's fine,
but you
got to go bang on a door.
But that's why we're here, and that's why we're coming at you every single day of the week now.
Exactly.
Because we want to help you sell better. We want to help you sell more.
So my strategy at the book fair was no different than the strategy that I would challenge every one of our diehards to use, and that is become known by people who count, mm-hmm. and then engage people in a way that – they respect you as much as you respect them.
Yeah. So, you know, I love that. And it definitely works. Mm-hmm. You know, next week coming up, we're going to be in Dallas.
Yeah.
And if you guys, diehards, you do not have your tickets yet, you can go to cgittimer.com/Dallas. The link is obviously in the show notes. And you can see us there. We do a live Sell or Die. It's really fun.
Yep.
We will answer your questions.
Yep.
And like, where can you go and have an amazing time, laugh your ass off, learn a shit ton? Sorry for the bad word if your kids are in the car.
Ass is a bad word? Go ahead.
And then go back and use everything, that great experience, to change your life, change your career, and make more money. I don't know where else you can go.
And we're going to have a barbecue fest. We're going to go to meet you, and we may go there on Wednesday night when we show up. We'll see what happens. But
Jeffrey, today, if you tell everyone that, the line's going to be even longer. Good.
Wade Foster is our guest today, and this guy is changing the way the world deals with software.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all about integration on a – not that kind of integration, but from a software perspective. And he's the CEO and the founder of Zapier. And you want to talk about how much you use Zapier?
I use Zapier daily, like literally daily. And you don't think about it because once you set it up, it runs behind the scenes and it makes everything happen for you so seamlessly that it's like the best tool to run in the background, whether you're a salesperson or a business owner. It doesn't matter. You can use Zapier in either instance.
And we're going to talk to Wade not only about how Zapier works and what he's done, but what does it do for the people that use it?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it benefiting you? This guy has had enormous growth, enormous success. And like the coolest whole part of the thing is there's no one in the office.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. There's nobody home. They don't have every
what
single
office.
Exactly. They work virtually.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one of the cool things.
Yeah, to be able to create a community that's all virtual but still loves what they're doing and is passionate about creating
but
is
hundreds
difficult.
Of, hundreds it, of people
oh,
are working.
Oh, yeah, it's very difficult. And the way that he's been able to master that, in my opinion, is phenomenal. So we will get to his interview in a minute. But first.
Yes.
We love when you guys give us 5-star reviews.
Oh, yeah.
You know this is coming. So here's one from Kevin. He writes, Jen and Jeffrey, don't sell this podcast short. Great content, great guests, relevant to my role. Keep it up. And as the podcast says, sell or die. Thanks for doing this podcast. No, Kevin. Thank you.
Yeah, damn it.
Thank you for that 5-star review. You guys, diehards, go to iTunes. Click the 5 stars and give us a nice few words.
Yeah.
We
Subscribe.
Live for this stuff.
Come on,
we love it. It makes us so happy.
Exactly.
You Plus, can it do puts it. Me to work.
We are at 100,000 now. We're going to shoot for at least 120,000 by the end of the year. But by end 2019, I want to be at 250.
And if you screenshot your review and put it in your Instagram story and tag me and Jeffrey,
we will acknowledge the hell out of you.
We will repost it in our stories and acknowledge you. I did that this morning for someone who just messaged me about our visualization episode, and she said that was her favorite episode. And I reshared her story and tagged it, and I'm just super grateful. So, tag me, Jen, and any minute, and you're Jeffrey Gittimer on Instagram.
I am?
I think you are.
I know.
Okay.
Okay, so let me tell you a couple things about Wade Foster before we get to the interview. He grew his company from 3 employees to a little under 200 employees in just 7 years. Wade will go over what it took to build that great workplace culture along the way, maintaining that every single person works out of the office. I'm going to be out of the office today with every other person in the company. And what motivated him to give his employees $10,000 each to move out of San Francisco.
Let's get to it.
Let's welcome diehards, the great Wade Foster. Wade Foster founded Zapier in 2011, growing the company from just 3 people to 175 people in just 6 years, and valued at over $20 million since then. Foster's Zapier app has likely helped you better communicate faster and likely has automated some of the more mundane tasks in your workday. Diehards, say hello to the great. Formerly from the Midwest, now out on the West Coast where everybody else goes crazy, the great Wade Foster.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Hey, we're so glad you're here.
Do you do many podcasts?
I've been on a handful of podcasts. I like doing podcasts. It's fun.
Do you have one for Zapier? Have you connected with other podcasts?
Funny enough, we don't have a Zapier podcast.
How come?
When you start, you can only do so many things.
That's true.
That's
true.
We
just haven't done it yet. So
that's cool.
We only have about 92,000 downloads this month.
All right.
If you're interested in creating a podcast, we can help you do it. It's awesome. Kind of,
maybe we can get you to 100,000 downloads this month.
Well, with your episode, I'm sure you can. So
we're gonna ballyhoo you.
I'm so excited to get into this because we use Zapier literally every day in our business to be more efficient and automate repetitive things. But a lot of our diehards have no idea what we're talking about right now. So can you explain to our listeners, like in like 9-year-old terms, what exactly a zap
now, go,
is?
No, come on, Jen, that's insulting. 10-year-olds.
Well, so every business, every organization, every group that is working on something is often using more and more tools to get their job done. You have a CRM, you have a project management tool, you have your email, your documentation, your file storage. You have all these different tools that you're using to run your business. And oftentimes you need to get those tools to talk to each other. You need to be able to share data between them. You need to be able to automate workflows between them. And there's not really a good way to do any of this stuff. And Zapier is the tool that helps you connect all these tools together. So like basic things, set up a rule so that every time I get an email that has an attachment, we'll set it to automatically save the attachment to Dropbox. That's a basic version. All the way to more sophisticated things like scheduling a whole interview series. Someone clicks through a Calendly link, it automatically creates a Google Calendar invite. It includes the Zoom links and then gets people subscribed to a list and all sends a message into Slack and says, hey, we've got a new guest coming on our podcast and stuff like that.
So and it's Wade. No, we have a new guest coming on. It's Wade fucking Foster. He's the guy that put it all together anyway.
How on earth did you think about creating this?
Yeah.
You know, Brian and I, we had been doing a lot of freelancing ourselves before starting Zapier. And we'd been asked to build these one-off integrations. So we built a PayPal QuickBooks integration. So folks could, this client could get their PayPal sales into QuickBooks for them. Mm-hmm. We've also built a WordPress Salesforce plugin where when folks would fill out this a WordPress form, it would go into Salesforce's leads. And Brian had this insight. He said, you know, engineers don't like writing all this API code. It's not particularly fun to do. But it provides a lot of value to the folks that are using these apps. And so if we can create something that allows the end user to build these things themselves, where it's simple enough that you don't have to be some sort of technical wizard to set any of these things up, that would be a pretty useful thing to have. And so during my day job at the time, I remember Brian messaged me with this idea, and I was messing around with the Marketo API and, you know, kind of fumbling around a little bit working with it. And I was just like, oh my God, Brian, this would be killer. Like, we should totally be working on this. And so that's like where the initial inspiration for the idea came from.
Wow, that is so cool.
And how long did it take you to actually get it to where it was functional? How many nights, months, years?
Well, so believe it or not, we started Zapier at a hackathon. The very first code was written at a hackathon. And in 54 hours, we had like a functioning version of Zapier working. It wasn't very good, to be clear. Like, it was not polished or anything, but you could set up a Zap that would save PayPal customers into HiRise, which is CRM, and it worked. So that took us 54 hours. Now, then to actually get it from that point to where we were not ashamed of how bad it was, that took us like maybe 9 months. So it took a while to get to a point where we're like, all right, this is good. Other people where we feel we didn't like, you know, tuck our tails as often when we asked people to use it in 9 months.
So what did it take for you to be confident to go out there and sell it? Like, what was the tipping point? Because obviously right away you might not have been ready.
Well, I think the thing for us was just the problems and the excitement of talking to some of those early customers. I remember the very first customer we had, Andrew Warner, who runs this podcast, Mixergy for Entrepreneurs. And I was talking to him. I tracked him down, sent him an email, and he said, hey, are you still looking for, he was looking for a PayPal HiRise thing, which is the one that we built first. And so I was like, hey, are you still looking for this? Turns out he wasn't, but he wanted this connector between WooFoo and AWeber. And I said, oh, well, we happen to have that too. We didn't actually have it. So I was like, Brian, Mike, we got to build this really quick. So we
went and perfect. Built it really quick. That's perfect.
Yeah. So we went and built it really quick. And then we gave Andrew access to it. And Andrew is such a nice guy. And he's the perfect kind of person that you want to be your first customer.
Wow, he sounds like us. Wait, he sounds like us.
All right, yeah. He emails me back and he goes, Wade, this is so cool. I'm so glad this exists. I'm having a few troubles. Do you mind getting on Skype to help me out? Yeah. I jump on Skype. He wasn't having a few troubles. Like, he didn't know what to do with it. It was basically like unusable for him. And so I went through and like helped him set it up and like, you know, click through the screens for him. And I was paying attention to like all the areas where it's like, okay, these are nodes for us. Like, we need to make the software easier to use. These spots, these screens are confusing, you know, taking all these notes. But at the end of it, even despite how confusing it was, Andrew, his response was like, this, thank you so much, Wade. This is going to save me so much time and headache. So it didn't matter to him that like the software was not super simple out the gate. It mattered that it solved a really critical problem for him. And so that gave me the confidence to say, look, I know we're not there yet from where we want the software to be, but for the right people, that doesn't matter. It's good enough as it is.
I think that when you talk about time saving, it's actually a misnomer. Actually, the time is worth money to anybody who spends or invests a lot of it in any of their business building. If you talk to anybody on our team that uses your software, it's a blessing. It's not a time saver.
Totally. That took me a while to figure that out, because at the beginning, for me, it was like, oh, it'll save you time. It'll save you time. But then we kept getting these emails from folks who would say things like, yeah, Zapier saves me time. But it's not the time that it saves me. It's that I can build things and do things that I never could have done before. Like, these things weren't possible. And so I'm able to get more leads, like close more deals. Like, I'm able to do all this stuff because this exists. The time is just like the basic thing that it does. Like, it does that, but then it creates a whole set of value that I don't think I appreciated that nearly enough for our very first customers.
And it's sophisticated now to a point where almost everything integrates with almost everything.
Yeah, 1,300 apps on Zapier today.
Psst, Jen.
What's up, Jeffrey?
I have a secret.
Tell me.
I have captured Napoleon Hill's foundational wisdom for the 21st century.
Amazing. Let's share that with the diehards.
For a limited time, you can download the first chapter of my new book, Truthful Living, before it's released on Amazon. These easy-to-implement real-world strategies for life, family, business, and your bottom line prove as energizing and inspiring today as they were 100 years ago.
Go get the first chapter of Truthful Living for free.
For free.
It's the foundation of Napoleon Hill's self-help legacy. His long-lost original notes, letters, and lectures, now compiled, edited, and annotated for the modern reader. Go to hillsfirstwritings.com and get that chapter for free.
So, Alex, pop back in here for just a second. How did we use Zapier this week?
Okay, so I've got a perfect example of that. When someone bought the Learning Academy today, what happened was they bought it, and then it took their name, their email, and their phone number, and all the other information that we have on them that they put in our form on our website, and then it added it to a Google spreadsheet with everybody else who's bought it. So now we've got a list of all of our customers. Also, we use Slack. So it took that person's information and said, hey, Alex, this is the Slack bot. And we just made a sale in the Gamer Learning Academy. Isn't that great? And then it sent it to Jen, sent it to me. So it's very, very cool, very awesome. And it's all behind the scenes. And I set it up once, and now it's works amazing every single time.
So there you go, Wade.
Wait, I want to know, what's your favorite Zap?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wait, do you call them Zaps?
We call them Zaps.
Yeah, there's Zaps.
Okay.
Yeah, I just
wanted to know, because that's our internal lingo, so I guess we got it from you.
So I have an affinity for some of the more boring Zaps. Like, my team makes fun of me for it because they think I do stuff a little backwards. So we use Slack internally as well all the time. We also have all of our channels are public and transparent. So there's stuff happening all over the place. It's a fire hose everywhere. And for me, a big part of my job is staying on top of this communication, following up with folks, making sure they have the resources they need, all this sort of stuff. And I was doing a bad job at that as the team got bigger and bigger. I would just lose track of things and not be able to find stuff in Slack anymore. But I'm pretty good at email, or at least I'm better at email. And so I have a Zap set up that when I see a message I need to follow up on, I'll start it and it sends me an email. So I kid you not, I manage Slack through email.
And that is a classic.
That is backwards. That is so funny.
Backwards. That is a total
classic.
It
works great for me.
Okay, so that's awesome. A lot of our listeners are salespeople. So how do you envision them using Zap?
Well, I think the place where Zapier gets powerful for sales and marketing teams is a lot of the automation you can do around your CRM. So whether you're using, you know, Salesforce, Pipedrive, Capsule, like
you actually know them all.
Right.
Yeah, like Sugar. Any of these tools, right. Sugar, you name it. Yeah. Like there's dozens of
these. Whatever you're using. Dynamics, does it do Dynamics also?
I think we have a Dynamics integration. We may not, though.
They're the hardest thing to integrate with.
Well,
on
we
the
don't
planet.
Use them, so yeah, we don't actually gotcha. Care. But
who do you all use? Can you say?
We canceled Salesforce. We can say that. We can say gotcha. That. It was just you need to be a college graduate to figure out how to turn it on.
Yeah, Salesforce is a bit more superpowered for most.
So folks. We now use Post-it notes, and they're doing very, very well. Yeah. Except we have a whole lot of them.
We're zapping yeah. them.
Or spreadsheets. Spreadsheets yeah, yeah. work great too.
We yeah. actually do a lot in spreadsheets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we yeah, use Google Docs. We use Google too. Docs, mm-hmm. which is, you know, Google Docs is the brand new Word package.
Gotcha. Yeah, Google Sheets. We got a lot of folks using Airtable for mm-hmm. CRMs now.
Yeah, Airtable is big.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so a lot of the things you can do is around automating either communication or alerts with your folks that are in your pipeline. So you can envision things like someone fills out a form on your site. Well, let's automatically reply with an email or a text message and let them know,
we got it.
Like we're going to follow up with you. Or maybe you reply and say, hey, thanks for reaching out. Let's schedule a time to talk. Here's a link to my Calendly. Let's get it scheduled. So you can make sure that your response times are super lightning fast because you're automating this stuff. And like time is of the essence in any sort of sales environment. So you don't want to let these folks linger. As soon as they fill out that form, you're like their interest and intent is as high as it's ever been.
I agree. They're giving you a buying signal from minute one.
Exactly. And so you want to react to that quickly. And if you're a small team, that can sometimes be hard because you just don't have a lot of time on your hands. So if you have something that's automatically doing it, that's pretty powerful for you.
Hang on a second. We have plenty of time on our hands. We go from like 9:01 to 9:03 every morning. That's an open slot.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, I think the automated communication bit is a good one, but also even alerts, just, you know, the stuff like Alex mentioned in Slack, hey, someone just downloaded this stuff. So maybe you don't automatically reach out, but you get alerted to know, hey, me as a person, I need to respond to this now. Maybe there's something I need to do because they've reached this stage in the funnel. And so I think really just helping you stay on top of like where your leads are and either automating them and trying to push them, nudge them to the next step in an automated way, or just prompting you to take the
pick up the phone and call the guy.
Yeah. And do the thing you need to do. Like that's a critical thing that Zapier can kind of help on either way you want to architect your sales.
So it can be like your assistant almost.
Exactly.
Your robotic assistant. I love that.
Do you know how nice it is to talk to you as a CEO and a founder? Do you have any idea? And do you know why it's so nice to talk? You're from the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
Where everyone is nice.
They are.
I've met some nice people elsewhere.
Yeah. You want to name five? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You were raised in a place mm-hmm. with your family. The rest of your family was within 10 miles of you. And somehow you broke away and got out to California, but everyone was waving at the train station.
We did have a big barbecue before we moved.
Cool.
It's probably that's, like 20, 25, 30 people.
That's cool.
Of course.
Cool.
Of course.
You have to. So you were talking about earlier some of the struggles with such a large team and a growing team, but you're also known in the industry, in like the tech world, to have developed one of the best workplace cultures. How did you build that? What did you do that's so different than other people that makes you guys stand out?
You know, I think the thing that we spent time on, or at least the way we approach it, is we think about building our company in the same way we think about building a product. So when you're building a really good product, what you're doing is you're paying attention to what the customer's saying. You're, you know, like Andrew, I watched him use it and I watched him struggle and I took a bunch of notes and I said, you know, he's struggling here. This is confusing. We need to make this less confusing for him. So you're paying attention to how do we make this product better and how do we make our go-to-market better? And you're trying to constantly deliver more value to your customers. Well, if you think about your company and your team in the same way, if you're doing one-on-ones with them weekly with your staff, if you're doing like surveys to ask like how things are going, and then you're actually paying attention to that, like you like not just doing it as a thing that just because HR told you to do it, but you're doing it because it matters and it means that you can build a company that's more effective. So when you get that feedback, you hear, okay, this isn't working internally. We need to fix this. Or this thing that worked when we were 10 people, well, now that we're 50 people, it's kind of broken now. We need to change. And you're responding to that. That allows you to build a really strong culture. That doesn't mean that we nail it 100% of our time. But I think if you had asked most folks at Zapier, they know that we're giving it our all. And they know that I'm giving it my all. And that I'm willing to listen and try and respond to it. And I think that just ability to just put the effort in, it means that other folks can do the same and they can come and show up. And it just builds a team that I think really wants to win together.
Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
So if you're a diehard out there, especially if you're a diehard business owner, what Wade just said by saying pay attention, I pay attention to this, he does way more than that. He concentrates on it. And he's looking at what that customer wants. He's looking at what the product is or does. And then he looks at his internal customers, his people, to see how all of that blends together. He's paying attention as a leader. He's concentrating as a leader to make everybody better. His product, his customer, and his people. And that's a true leader.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how else you would be successful. I think you have to do this stuff. And if you don't, you might still be able to make do for a while.
Yeah.
But eventually it's going to catch up to you.
Well, when you lose your hair, you'll have gotten the whole quad effecta.
Yeah, I started to notice some gray come in here on the sides.
That's
here,
a good sign.
Yeah.
It means you're going to keep your hair.
I hope so.
Yeah, if it doesn't turn gray, it's going down the sink.
Yeah. Genetics is not on my favor, I don't think.
Well, but, there you go.
We'll see if I can outlast it.
Well, let me tell you what, though. Product is. Yeah, and you have a great one. You have a total great one. What do you think is going to happen? Where are we now? You know, right now we're in my opinion, I look at the internet and I look at our product development and sales strategies and companies that are up on the move like Amazon and Walmart. We're still primitive. I mean, you're creating this stuff that links things together, and it's like you're taking these two live wires and going, "It's alive! It's alive!" And so, what's your vision for what's going to be happening?
Well, I think the thing that is really excited about tools like Zapier and tools that we support on Zapier is that they give the small guy the ability to do things that only big companies could do in the past. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Amazon, Walmart, like a lot of this stuff, they found ways to like automate little bits and like have these really streamlined and slick purchasing flows. And like, it's, you know, buying from Amazon is like, It's scary. It's crazy. Yeah, you click a button and it's on your thing like that afternoon. Mm-hmm. Like, how incredible is that?
Yeah, the drone drops it in your place and you hope it's not like a gallon of detergent.
Yeah, it's amazing. So for the rest of us, like, how can we get as close to building those experiences that Amazon's building? And I think it requires better tools and easier to use tools. Amazon has a fleet of engineers that spends all their time thinking about this stuff, mm-hmm. architecting it, and getting that last 1% perfect. Well, maybe we can't get the last 1% perfect, but can we build really easy to use tools that get us 99% of the way there? And then because we're not big and corporate-y, like, we have a personality and a value prop and like a human element, build a brand around it that endears us to a customer base. I think that's the way that, like, you know, small businesses are going to continue to be competitive as we move into the future. And so I think that's just really exciting that there's tools like Zapier and tools like the ones that we integrate with that give these folks, these companies, the ability to do a lot of these things that, you know, 10 years ago, you would have had to have a fleet of interns or you just wouldn't have done it.
Is there an integrator group where you talk to other people that – integrate
like a customer forum?
Yeah, customer forum, or maybe there's other developers out there that do some of the things that you guys do that you can talk to.
You know, there's like more and more. We haven't done a good job of this internally. We're hoping to change it, but we've seen a lot of like Facebook groups and Slack groups pop up where they're talking about how to use Zapier with this tool or that tool, and they're sharing notes with each other and sharing their Zaps amongst each other and, you know, teaching each other how to do these sorts of things. And that, I think, has been – that was one of those things I never expected where, like, we didn't have a say. Like, we didn't organize those groups. They just went out and did it because they thought it was useful and helpful. I think the thing that we've got to do internally, we want to find better ways to facilitate that and augment that.
Maybe you could zap it.
Those things.
Yeah, you
maybe
can zap.
Maybe make a zap for that.
We should be zapping.
Zap your groups.
There you go. The cobbler's kids has no shoes.
Exactly. Right? How did you name the company?
We sat down and named it in 5 minutes.
Wait a second. A naming company didn't come in and charge you $50,000 for the name?
No, we didn't.
Oh, my God. How the hell did that happen?
It's such a good name.
Yeah, it is a good name.
It's a good name.
It's a great name. That's bullshit.
You're right. It's a great name.
Okay.
It's an awesome name. So here's how we came up with it. We're powered on APIs. And so we wanted API to be in the name. And so we said, okay, API, that sounds cool. But it can't just be API. That's not a name. It has to have an actual name. And so IER, that's a comment ending in English. So what words could go with that? And we were looking at like Zapier, Snappier, things like that. And we went and looked on domain register. Turned out Zapier was available for $9.95. and 5 minutes later, like that's who we are.
Yeah, but you created this Zap thing. And that's – you have the tag. You have
your own verb. I love it.
Oh, my God. You do have your own – you do have your own verb.
There's a zap for everything.
Anyway, we're calling you to say that we're fans and way to go, but you have given us a tremendous amount of insight and information that I think our listeners, our diehards, can actually zap.
Yeah, yeah. There's one last question I'm dying to ask before we go.
How old are you?
No. So – You famously paid one of your employees $10,000 to move away from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Yeah. How did you get him out of there?
Our diehards need to know what this is all about.
The old delocation package. Yeah. So this was one of those things. This was one of our engineers came up with this. We had interviewed and actually hired two individuals who were living in the Bay Area. And as soon as they got hired, they moved to Florida and Pennsylvania, respectively. And for those who don't know, Zapier is 100% remote team. So we don't have an office. We let people work wherever.
Wow. Wait a minute. So, go back. Wait a second. In other words, if you walk out in the hallway right now, there's nobody.
Yeah, there's no one. Yeah. Like, well, I think my Maybe dog and dog. My wife are around the corner.
So you have like one toilet.
Yeah.
And anybody can use it.
Yeah. We have a two-bedroom apartment. There's two toilets, two restrooms in it. And so that's where we live. And that's where I work.
That's so totally. And do you Zoom people?
We get on Zoom all the time. Yeah. A lot of Zoom, a lot of Slack.
All right. So you delocated somebody. Finish the story.
So we had these two folks who we hired and immediately moved. And so one of our engineers kind of like picked up on that and was like, wait a second. Bay Area prices, home prices are ridiculous. There's a lot of really smart people that live in the Bay Area, a lot of great, great talent, but maybe they don't want to be there anymore. Maybe they're priced out. Maybe they're just tired of that. Maybe they want to move back home. People move for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, like you have to step over people at night. You don't trip over them.
And so he's like, relocation packages are super common. You know, how often does someone say, hey, we'd want to relocate you to the Bay Area. We'll pay you $10,000 to come here and take care of all your moving expenses and everything if you relocate. And so I forget where the name delocation, but somebody said, oh, we'll call it delocation.
That's a classic.
To get folks to move. And I was skeptical at first. I was like, I don't know. Like, this is a little crazy. Like, I live in the Bay Area. Like, I don't want to, like, I admit, like, it's not perfect here, but, like, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Like, there's a lot of good folks out here, too. And, but eventually I was like, all right, let's go for it. And so he did this delocation package. He took off like crazy. But the gist of it is, if we hire you and you live in the Bay Area and you want to move somewhere else, if you move somewhere else, we'll pay you $10,000 to relocate somewhere else.
So if you live in the Bay Area and want to move, just go work for Zapier.
Right. They'll move your ass.
We'll help make it happen. Yeah.
That's freaking awesome. I love that.
Yeah. You know, it is so refreshing to talk to somebody who's making it happen, who is a kind, considerate, understanding human being of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a product. I mean, this product ain't going anywhere, and you know it, don't you?
We hope not. It's not going anywhere.
Well, let's put it this way. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
And we love it.
Oh, for sure. I already thought of a Zap I'm going to create immediately after we leave this.
Yeah? What are you going to make?
Well, I thought of one for salespeople, which is like if you have a meeting with someone, and I'm sure you work with Asana, and you put in your project management tool like we use, we use Asana, and you check off that you met with them, then the Zap could automatically send them a thank you email. And I thought that could be really cool, or a follow-up email. And then I was thinking, for me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a Zap for the podcast guests, because there's three emails that we like to send after, and rather than send them, they're the same email, right? Basically. Mm-hmm. So rather than send them, I'm going to just Zap them so that when we check it off in Asana, it automatically sends our guests an email. How cool is that? I'm so excited.
Excellent. You can guinea pig it on me. I hope I get an automated email from you.
No, you're going to get a personalized one.
Oh, yeah.
This is not ready yet, but
if you would email us your mailing address, we'd like to send you some of my autographed books and Jen's autographed books, so that when we're dead, you can go on eBay. And
I have an autographed book here that I'd like to sell.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, that was a two-part amazing story. Mm-hmm. Part one is how amazing Zapier is.
Yes.
And part two is how amazing Wade Foster is at putting his company together and making it happen virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, I was blown away by the fact that nobody works in the office.
Yeah, and that they're a company that's well worth over $20 million now. It's not like some rinky-dink, you know, we have this virtual office kind of culture here. Like, they're in the majors.
That's true. Now, I'm a fuddy-duddy.
You are?
Yeah, I think people should be in the office and the work environment. I mean, imagine what it would be like if everybody, like, tuned in from home for our space. I think we need that culture. So diehards, don't think that your company can't be successful if everyone comes into work.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I love building communities. It's one of my favorite things on the planet to do, and I love doing it in person. I mean, I'll do it virtually as well, but I think there is something about seeing each other every day and the team camaraderie that you can build, and the fact that Wade's been able to build that without that touch point. You know, just through Zoom, you're looking at people through Zoom, is amazing.
Yeah, I think that there's a cultural difference between how I grew up in business and how Wade grew up in business. And you're in the middle of that culture, Jen. Like, you can take it either way. Mm. I'm a come to work kind of person.
Mm-hmm. But they are going to work and they are getting on video conferences and they are seeing each other and they are collaborating and they are communicating.
You're obviously not listening to me.
No, I am listening. I'm
for
hear
people.
You.
I'm
I
for
understand
people
what
coming
you're
into the office.
I know what you're for.
Shooting the shit, having the water fountain talk, making lunch together, talking about their dog or their kids or the rain or whatever it is, and being able to interact with each other literally instantaneously daily without setting a meeting.
Here's the bottom line.
All right.
Whether you're in person or you're virtual, culture matters.
Agreed.
And community matters.
Agreed.
And even if, let's just say, diehard, you're not a business owner, and this is something like you're not worried about because you're a salesperson, and right. What does that matter to you? It matters to you because once you sell, you're going to need someone to service the account. You're going to need someone to provide help. You're going to need other people on the team to get involved with that customer.
And you're either going to ship the product or shit the product. It's one of those two things, and you have to determine what the level of service culture is in your company, not simply sales culture.
Mm-hmm.
In Truthful Living, it says be prepared to provide more service than you're paid for.
Yep.
And by the way, if you haven't bought Truthful Living yet, you're just about at the launch date.
You can go to hillsfirstwritings.com if you're hesitant, download the first chapter. But yep. Seriously, like, this is a Napoleon Hill book.
It's $16.
And Jeffrey Gittimer.
Don't be.
What could you be hesitant about? I want you, once you buy it, post a picture of your receipt in our Facebook group and on Instagram, and we will repost that as well.
Or you can send it to us, and I'll autograph it and then send it back to you at my expense.
Also, remember, we have our Truthful Living Wednesday minute coming up.
Doesn't Nada have a great voice?
He does. He does.
I know.
He does.
He has that like bass kind of.
It's good.
Boom, 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 boom.
I'm not a member of the Temptations.
But you know what? You know what? Nada has a great point that on Wednesday, we have the Truthful Living interview. That was a lot of fun doing that with you, I have to say.
Yeah, that's true.
There really was. Well, and I hope you guys are getting a ton of value out of it because it's like a little behind the scenes, you know. I hope you've told me more than you tell some of those other interviewers.
Oh, my gosh, Jen. I've spilled the entire bean to you, honey. So, diehards, what's going on in your space? We want to join our Facebook group, please, Sell or Die, and talk about what's happening. And you know what's going to happen? Not only will Jen or I respond to you, but other members of the group are starting to interact with one another. It's pretty cool.
It is. It is. And listen, so you know about Wednesday Truthful Living. Thursday of this week, we have Anthony Iannarino.
Oh.
He rocks.
Yeah.
He is so awesome. You guys are going to love that episode. And then, of course, we have Best of Friday. So
what the hell
I'll
are you waiting for?
Dallas.
I'll see you in Dallas, Jenny. Actually, I'll be there with you.
Yes. Yes,
we're going to be in Dallas together. We're going to be eating a lot of barbecue.
Oh, you're going to be eating a lot of barbecue.
I'm going to be eating
a little barbecue.
Okay, cool. But we will be eating at most likely Meet You. That will be the closest place for us. And come to the seminar. Come on. Come to the leadership event. Come to the sales event, go to C. Gittimer. And after Dallas, the last one is Atlanta. So if you have a friend or two in Atlanta, go buy a ticket. In the meantime, I think that we are now flush enough in the economy to where you're realizing that your business is growing. You may erroneously think you had something to do with your improved sales. I'm challenging you that if your sales are not up 30 or 40%, you are not doing the best you possibly can do. There is more than you can that you can do if you set your mind to it, but you're going to have to give up some of your decadent lifestyle in order to be able to make that happen. If you're watching television, ask yourself this one question. Will this show double my income?
So I recently had a comment about this, that people don't watch TV anymore. And like they're like, oh, I don't watch TV. I watch Netflix. Yeah. Guys, it's the same freaking thing, okay? If you're watching Netflix or you're watching the news on your computer, it is the same exact thing.
Yeah, like she said. So if you are on a screen and you're watching some kind of drama or some kind of a movie or some kind of a
whatever.
Exactly. If it's funny, I'm going to give you a hall pass. You know what I mean? If it's like Family Guy or something, watch it for 20 minutes and be done with it. But if it won't double your income, turn the damn thing off and take advantage of this economy. It's growing like wildfire.
I think what Jeffrey's saying is if you're sitting at home on a Sunday binge watching something on Netflix for 8 hours.
Wait a minute. Wait. Eagles games notwithstanding. All right.
Phineas and Ferb as well.
Right. Phineas and Ferb, exactly.
You're sitting on your couch. You know we've all been there. I will raise my hand. I have been there too. And you're watching something on Netflix for like 8 hours, only getting up to go to the bathroom and maybe get some water or coffee or something. There is a problem there. You could be investing that time
exactly
in sales.
You
and
could
in
dominate the entire tri-state area.
All right. We're really out now. Guys, it's been real. I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.